Hello, I'm Brett Dillon, and this is The Movie Chronicles. This episode takes us to England in 1898 to view a favourite domestic scene. Director R. W. Paul. This film probably influenced the opening scene in J.M. Barrie's play Peter Pan, first performed in 1904. And was influenced in turn by the Edison Company film Pillow Fight. Two boys are in bed. Their sister sneaks in and teases them. A pillow fight ensues and the feathers fly. The nanny then sorts the children out. A Switchback Railway, director R. W. Paul. The switchback railway was an early form of roller coaster. A six-person cart took the customers up a sequence of dips. They were then transferred to another car, which rolled down the same sequence. The existing film is both a documentary and an advertisement. It certainly had me thinking I'd like to give this a try. Albert Court Hayden Expedition. Director unknown, but probably Alfred Court Haddon. Of this 1898 expedition, I have only come across two films so far. They are Malo Ceremonial Dance, also known as Mer Island Ceremonial Dance, and Making Fire. Alfred was born on the 21st of April, 1855, in London, England, and he died in 1940. But we won't hold that against him. In 1880, he was appointed Professor of Zoology at the College of Science in Dublin, Ireland. Alfred created the Dublin Field Club in 1885. His life became seriously impacted when he went to the Torres Straits Islands to study coral reefs and marine zoology. When he returned to Europe, he began to publish papers on the Torres Straits Islanders and argued for further studies of the culture before it became corrupted through contact with outside forces. He became, in effect, an anthropologist. In July 1898, Alfred achieved his wish. The plan was to explore the Torres Straits Islands and Borneo. This expedition lasted 12 months. The findings were published in Headhunters Black, White and Brown, 1901. Come Along Do, director R. W. Paul. This is an adaptation of a song popular in 1874. The film is now so badly damaged its point is now lost. It is of historical interest because it is composed of two separate shots edited together. In the first shot, a husband and wife dawdle outside an art gallery. The second shot is lost, and only a handful of stills exist. This is inside the gallery. The gag is probably that the husband lingers too long in front of a nude female statue. The available stills don't show this action, I'm guessing it, because the statue is placed centre frame, dividing the image in two. Fair at Devil's Dyke, Brighton. Director unknown. All the fun of the fair. I'm tempted to say the more things change, the more they stay the same, yet there are some rides in this film you will not find today. The opening shot is swings, and then, possibly the editor was in a fey mood, roundabouts. What follows next is hard to describe. My notes say little cars on a track going downhill. A switchback railroad is followed by what my notes call a churner. This is a sequence of interlinked swings churning around. The last shot is a close-up of a roundabout on tracks that go up and down. History was pluriform. On. March the 26th. The Sabi Game Reserve in South Africa became the first officially designated game reserve. May the 5th, U.S. citizen Charles Urban created the Warwick Trading Company in London, England, as a branch of the Edison Company, a cunning ruse by Edison to try and spread his copyright and patent claims around the globe. June the 9th. The British government took a 99-year lease of Hong Kong from China. August the 23rd. The Southern Cross Expedition, the first British attempt of Antarctic exploration, set sail from London, England. The expedition was the brain fart of Carsten Borchgrevink. It was the first to winter over on Antarctica, the first to visit the Great Ice Barrier since 1839, and the first to land on the Great Ice Barrier. The trip pioneered the use of dogs and sledges in the exploration of Antarctica. August the 25th. 700 Greeks and 15 Englishmen were slaughtered by the Turks at Heraklion, Greece, leading to the establishment of the autonomous Cretan state. December the 9th. The first of the two Tsavo man-eating lions was shot by John Henry Patterson. The second is killed 3 weeks later, after 135 workers on the Kenya-Ugabda railway had been killed by the lions. They got their name from the Tsavo River in Kenya. The launch of HMS Albion. Director R. W. Paul. To the modern eye, most of this film looks like a stock footage collection that hides the tragedy it is trying to portray. Paul has edited the footage in a way that assumes prior knowledge of the events it is depicting. This is news footage. Paul went to shoot one event, but got caught up in a much larger one. The footage shows the HMS Albion sliding down the slipway. We then get a shot of a woman, probably Paul's wife, looking to the right. She stands on a ship which is keeping pace with other vessels. The final shot shows people slipping about in the mud under a wharf. The story behind the footage is that a jetty was specially built so the rich and famous could view the launching. The wash from the Albion, as it was launched, destroyed the jetty. Bystanders raced across the river to help save the survivors. This occurred on Bow Creek, a tributary of the Thames River, in 1896. The delayed release of the footage suggests there were some fatalities among the 200 spectators on the jetty. Phantom ride from a train at Barnstable, North Devon, also known as Steam Train Moving. Director unknown. The camera is set up at the front of the engine. It doesn't take long to get out of the siding and into the city. We pass through the city stations and out into the countryside. Queen Victoria arrives at Royal Garden Party. Production company, British Pathé. It takes almost 30 seconds for the Queen to appear because the horses of her carriage want to hog the picture. The film then shows the elderly queen being helped down to solid ground. A cut takes us to the garden party. The tent pegs and ropes are foreground left, while a group of men and women are in the mid-distance. There's a bit of bobbing and hat-raising going on. Santa Claus. Director George Albert Smith. Actors Laura Bailey, Dorothy Smith, and Harold Smith. The oldest surviving Santa film features a pretty scary Santa. The children prepare for the morrow and then go to bed. Santa arrives, like a modern horror movie villain, and redecorates the room before leaving the way he came, something like the thief who broke into houses to clean them, as an ironic commentary on consumerism. Director George Albert Smith was born on January the 4th, 1864, in London, England, and he died in 1959. As you may have noticed, he used his family for the film Santa Claus. Partly inspired by the work of Georges Méliès, Smith's work also tended towards the fantastical. In turn, this led him to film experimentation. He created some of the first glass shots and, in 1897, had patented a method to take double exposures. He used close-ups, wipes, and focus pulls in his work. In 1906, he and Charles Urban patented a color film system they called Kinemacolor. This was the world's first commercial color system. George started out as a portrait photographer and running a tourist attraction in his hometown of Brighton, England. Charles Urban distributed his films when George went into film production. Being an entrepreneur, George quickly learnt that porn sells. By 1900, he was producing keyhole shorts. This, however, was a sideline to his fantasy films. In case you're getting all hot and bothered, the keyhole films were more on the voyeuristic end of what we now consider to be pornography. Actor Laura Bailey was George's wife. Laura was born on February the 4th, 1862, in Ramsgate, England, and she died in 1938. She appeared in many of George's films released from 1897 to 1903, after which she seems to have retired. Births were censored. On. January the 9th. Gracie Fields, the British singer and actress, who died in 1979. February the 12th, Wallace Ford, the British actor who died in 1966. April the 26th, John Grierson, the Scottish documentary filmmaker, who died in 1972. November the 18th, Joris Evans, the Dutch film director who died in 1989. November the 29th, C.S. Lewis, the British writer who died in 1963. The Sirdar's reception at Guildhall, the rector R.W. Paul. The Sirdar is, of course, Lord Kitchener. After the Battle of Omdurman in the Sudan, Kitchener returned to London to celebrate his success. Paul positions his camera across the street from the Guildhall and films the Sirdar's carriage as it pulls up. The only other point of note is the hats. Men do love to stick their heads up a beaver. Tommy Atkins in the Park, director R.W. Paul. This is a remake of Paul's earlier film, A Soldier's Courtship, which appears to be lost at this stage. This version is notable for its location shooting. Atkins and his beau are sitting on a park bench when they are disturbed by a buxom lady who interrupts their wooing. The buxom lady is engrossed in a book, and the couple can neither avoid nor ignore her. Finally, in exasperation, he tips her over the bench, and the happy couple now walk off. In essence, it is a very crude bit of humour with a sophisticated setup whose comic potential is ignored. It's noteworthy because Charlie Chaplin's early film career is based upon just this type of crude gag. View from Engine Front, Ilfracombe. Production Company, Warwick Trading Company. We begin by passing under a bridge. This takes us into some steep hills, and we're going downhill. I hope the brakes work. When we come out of the hills, there is a river on the left, and we get a glimpse of a boat pulled up onto the bank. Soon, the checkered fields of England are revealed, to be blotted out as we enter a tunnel. On the other side, the track is even steeper, and we're plummeting down it. When we hit the flat, we're heading into a station. We gently pull up to a stop, having reached our destination. Deaths were disasters. On. January the 14th. Lewis Carroll, the British writer, mathematician, and logician, born 1832. February the 16th. Thomas Bracken, author of New Zealand's national anthem, born 1843. March the 15th. Henry Bessemer, the British engineer and inventor, born 1813. March the 16th, Aubrey Beardsley, the British artist, born 1872. April the 15th, Te Kipa Te Rangihi Winui, the Maori warrior leader. He fought on the government side during the 1860-64 New Zealand Civil War. Next episode is for Buzzsprout and Patreon supporters only. Only you might want to purchase it as a single episode. We continue the best science fiction films of all time to explore the microcosmos. Assuming you don't want to become a pod person, and I can appreciate your humility, after all, only the best choose to become a pod person, then the next episode explores the oral world of blind swordsman Zatoichi in 1865. Bring your mat, because if Zatoichi doesn't give you a massage, he'll give you a head cut.